is the meaning of life? Are we here for a reason? Is there a point to any of this? And why does food taste so much better in the trash? This was me, and then this was me. Then I came back as this little guy. A lot of lives for one dog to live. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's start at the beginning.
I'm a new soul.
For me, it all began with a boy.
All right.
His name was Ethan.
So this is Viewfinder Podcast, episode number 3. I'm Opaly.
I'm Marley.
I'm Sam.
I'm Cassidy.
All right, in this episode, we're going to be talking about the film A Dog's Purpose, which is a 2017, it says here it's an American comedy drama, but some of the scenes
not
were filmed.
A comedy.
No.
No.
I wouldn't say so.
Yeah, no, there was no
comedy. It tries
comedy.
To be a comedy, I think, at
times. I mean,
times.
There was, like, parts where you, like, smiled, but, like, it's yeah. not...
But,
it's not a comedy.
Yeah, some of the scenes were filmed in Winnipeg, and a certain controversy that we'll get into later was also broke news.
National attention.
Yeah, a lot of attention.
Yeah, a lot of,
for sure.
Lot of
for
attention.
A dog's purpose.
A lot of people on Facebook crying about animal abuse.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so basically this movie is about a dog who gets reincarnated as different dogs, and he tries to figure out, like, the purpose of his life and what yeah. what he's here for. And I just want to say, like, if I look, like, extra tired, it's because this movie literally had me bawling. Like, yeah. I am miserable today.
I
would not call this a heartwarming movie
no.
in any
it
sense.
Just,
my heart is not warmed.
No.
Yeah.
Honestly,
I was miserable watching it.
It was... I had to pause the movie 10 times. To be fair,
so what, Cassidy? Elaborate.
To be fair, okay,
what were you
so
pausing
the,
for?
The,
where did you pause
the,
it?
The first pause was at the 5:54 mark, and it was a wear down of the first 5 minutes. It wasn't like a real pause. There wasn't a moment. Like, the dad gets the beer, and I'm like, I need to stop right now. I need to just stop and take a little break.
Five minutes in,
I just need to stop and take a little break. The narration is awful.
Okay,
it's awful.
I think we can all agree that that's probably the key thing that's like the tipping point. It's like the inner dialogue is. I almost feel like this film is made for children. Like it's got to be made for kids because I think kids are the only ones that are, you know, like show don't tell. We're always told, you know, but it's like so much is like, oh my,
I think it's like really meant for dog lovers to really manipulate their feelings,
anthropomorphizing.
Yes, absolutely.
I actually one of my first questions was, do you think the movie would have been more effective if there was no narration?
Yes. Oh my god, yes.
I think it would have been like less cheesy.
Yeah.
Like,
much better.
Yeah. And I mean they have enough scenes where they like show the dog and like the dog's reaction and like you can kind of guess already like
what they are intending
the dog to think.
Yeah.
So like I wonder if I don't know. Maybe somebody has that on YouTube. Like, no dog narration.
There was one scene that I noted specifically where it was that exactly was very obvious. I think it was when they were in the first story, when they were at a carnival or something, when he first meets the girl.
Oh, God.
And the dog is, you know, clearly happy, running around.
Yeah.
And it's just like the inner dialogue is like, I like this place. And it's like, you don't need it.
Yeah.
Really.
The dog is a good enough actor that we can
Exactly. Yeah. Well, and it's like a dog at a carnival. You can assume that it's going to be like, oh my God, they're
dogs
small.
Dogs aren't that easy, aren't that hard to understand.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like.
Yeah. Exactly.
And I want to be fair to the movie. Some of those pauses were pauses due to me laughing, and I had to stop the movie. And so...
What was one of those?
Yeah. Oh, my God. When teenage boy... Sorry, I categorize characters by catchphrases.
Yeah.
When teenage boy breaks up with a teenage love interest and she runs back to the car,
yes.
It's like the funniest run I've ever seen in my life. I had to stop them.
Bailey.
She cries... I noted that down too. I was like, she cries Bailey, but not Ethan.
I know. But her runaway is so...
It is funny.
I had to rewatch it about 3 or 4 times just to like... laugh at it again and again and again. It was like the most movie cry run I've ever seen.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
And that scene in general was just sort of like weird.
It happened very quickly.
Yeah, and it's like I don't know. I don't know if it made sense for the character. like for Ethan to do that.
Go away.
I know, like
don't stay behind from me.
It's I like, know, it's like, what are you talking about?
You guys have telephones.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like, I think he was feeling like just his like, ego was just beaten and he was just lost and feeling like, hey, like I think he like anticipated that she was gonna break up with him eventually, so he like did it first, and he's maybe like, that's
like going off to college, like she's gonna like meet someone else.
Yeah,
I mean that definitely is a thing, but I just think that I don't know,
it came across as kind of very like, well, okay, we're done, you shouldn't see each other anymore.
Yeah,
and she was like, what?
That that whole like, oh my god, the dog narrating the meeting is like, that's what caused me to realize that I couldn't make it through this movie without the aid of alcohol. So it was a very good decision.
Yeah. Which part?
When he sees her and the dog goes, oh, he smells sweaty. I'm like,
oh yeah,
the
That's what I mean. Is that there's
we're
so
not
many...
gonna make it through this movie without a few beers. And so I stopped the movie and went down, and I'm like, okay,
is that sweaty?
There's so many adult jokes, but like, it's kind of like when you watch an animated film and there's, you know, these little phrases. It's a movie for kids, but like, there's so many things that like it's adults pick up on, like the jokes. I feel like that there was a lot of that in this movie.
Yeah, I agree. The sweaty like, smell, God, and they just like kept bringing that back.
I know, it's like, throughout the very end,
that sweaty smell again,
and like the licking faces, and like she must have something in her mouth that he's trying to find, and then like the dog goes and like kisses her mouth, and he's like, nope, nothing in there. Just
like, it was so bad.
Yeah, it was like very, yeah, it was definitely full of cheese. Mm-hmm. Like,
I think I like the concept of it. Like, I like the fact that, like, the reincarnation and, like, you know, dog's purpose and connecting our pets, you know, giving them, like, finding a connection between pets and owners, and that's like it, that's heartwarming. But I think
totally
the whole movie is just cheesy,
manipulative, like
I mean, I can't decide if I'm like, if I find it like, I don't know, like weird that they're like anthropomorphizing the dog so much, and like, we can't, I don't know, I can't decide what side of this I'm on.
There's a review here from Letterboxd by Ashton Kinley. You're going to tell me that the dog understood the concept of death and reincarnation and was constantly searching for the meaning of life, but he thought that a hot dog was called a freaking meat log?
Yeah. Meat log, and also like a big yellow box with wheels was the school bus. Things like that, yeah.
It's like, well, if he doesn't know what a school bus is, how does he know what a box is?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, there's definitely some like kind of consistency like issues in what the like, dog understands.
He recognizes
when
his name,
understand.
He recognizes words. I'm sure he could recognize bus. Like, he would know what yellow school bus is because, you know, the mom's like, go to the bus, and then he goes to the bus.
I thought that was the purpose of like why dogs know, well, why the dog in this movie knows the names of things is because he hears people saying them. So like, technically he would know that was a bus if humans call it a bus, because he calls the mom like mom, probably because Ethan calls him mom, you know.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
I don't know, but I guess it's not as playful and you know,
yeah,
funny.
It's like a shortcut to a joke.
Yeah,
but it's not even
it's
that
not
funny.
A joke.
I know it's not a
what's
joke.
What's the punchline? What's funny?
Cassidy's
I'm very serious about that.
I have notes. I have pages and pages of notes on this movie. But I think I can core it down to, this is supposed to be like a fun little story about a reincarnating dog. It takes like an hour for the first the second reincarnation happened. Why is the first one so long?
Yeah, it's just like just totally just to set
needed
up the
to
ending.
I found it drive interesting. It in.
Yeah, like I found it interesting that like I didn't even notice really in the first like 5 minutes like he's like a puppy and then he like gets euthanized like right away.
I know.
Yeah, I was like,
I know.
There was a lot of that.
One dog
right
down.
Off the
boom. Five seconds in.
I was like, oh. Shit.
Like, it was this kind of movie. Like, okay.
Yeah, like, I was like, what the heck? And then, so after that, then he becomes, like, Ethan's, like, dog or whatever, right? I don't know. I found, like, the Ethan story, like, it was just weird. Like, his dad's just, like, an alcoholic.
His dad was way more interesting than anything else in this movie.
Like,
I was like, I want to see a movie about this dad.
I was more interested in the dad than Ethan. It's like,
like there
everything was really cliche.
It was kind of cliche.
Dog and his bowl
fucking Todd.
Dog and his boy. Little boy and his dog.
Your dad's an Alky.
Who says Alky?
People in the 1960s do. Yeah. You see, your dad's an Alky.
Like, I did not understand that part. It's so bizarre.
Since this is the Viewfinder podcast, it needs to be pointed out that that was a CFL football that they were playing with as well.
So you can tell. Bring it back.
So
that's so funny.
I'm going to need to point that out.
Oh, my God.
Okay, and been... like the firecracker.
Oh,
like,
I know.
Okay, why did Todd not be punished more for his crimes?
Like, how was that? Like, he nearly
murdered
why?
A family.
And why did he, like, just immediately admit it to the cops is what I was wondering.
It's like, because like, the dog made him...
The cops in that scene, like the dog just randomly attacks him, and the cops are like, "What are you running from, son?" Yeah, and I'm like, "Well, this dog's attacking me. Like, that's what I'm running away from." Jeez,
nowadays,
cops.
Like 2018, it'd be like, "Pop, pop, bye, doggy." Literally.
Since when do you have to be like, "Oh shit, the dog's a witness. Like, I gotta get out of here."
Bring the dog in for interrogation.
Yeah, like, for this dog, you could. Did anybody read the book?
No.
There's
no.
a book.
No.
This is why I feel
is it
like.
By Nicholas Sparks.
You know what? I don't know.
No, it's by one of the guys who. I think he wrote the screenplay as well.
Okay. Is it the director's Cameron?
Yeah, so.
Because I feel like the different stories within the story feels like a book.
It probably was better as a book.
Yeah. Because I felt like. I just felt like the movie also would have been. Better if it focused on like one story.
Yeah.
I don't know, but that's just
and
my
see
opinion
like that. like inner thoughts and kind of like stuff like that works better usually in book format. So I can definitely see like the dog's like thoughts working better just in like kind of when you're not just, being like fed it kind of. I don't know.
It just speaking of books, it just reminded me of this other book I read as a kid that I thought was really good. It was called The Dog's Life.
Aww.
Have you guys ever? Read that
No, I literally stay away from anything involving animals because I will cry.
Oh yeah, it was depressing.
I will just cry.
Like it's a book meant for kids, but it's like depressing as hell because like, it's like the stray dog and her hardships.
Okay, did you guys ever have to read like between where the red
Fern grows? Yeah. That was amazing.
Mm-hmm. Just end me.
Yeah,
so sad.
That was an awesome book.
The first. Dog death. The movie got to me three times. It was the first one with Ethan because, like, you can just really. I think everybody has had
can
to.
Relate.
Yeah, can relate to. Especially for me, is like living away from home. It's like you getting that call when your childhood pet dies. It's tough. But it was kind of undercut when it was kind of obvious that Ethan couldn't cry, so instead he put his face into the dog to hide it from the camera.
Yeah.
The actor couldn't cry, so he just. Like you can see, he's just about
actor technique.
He's like trying to cry. He's like, I'll just do this.
Because he's a man. Men don't cry.
Men don't cry.
Like, this is the 1960s.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, that was.
He's got to go to an agricultural college. I don't know if you picked up that in voiceover.
No,
I was like,
I did.
Oh God.
Yeah.
There's so much like.
Is
like, what
I
moments?
Can't go to college, so now I gotta go to farmer school so I can take over my grandparents'
farm. I feel like there's so
farm.
Many, like so many little parts of that first story that just we never really know, like we never end up knowing what happened, like with the dad and what happened at egg school.
I was so
well,
and also
baffled.
Like, what about Carlos, like the police officer? Mm-hmm. Like, damn, that's sad as shit.
Yeah. That entire segment was amazing.
It was
good,
but it's
I like
sad
that.
Because we never see what happens to him. It's like his wife left him. He's like freaking depressed.
I know.
His dog saves his life and then gets shot.
I know, right?
In front
the
of
dog.
Him.
And I did not like that scene.
And that's
I was
that
like,
was the scene
amazing.
Where the controversy happened.
Oh, that entire
and
thing.
That is also this. Yes. The
I
want to
like.
Who wants
I
to
hated,
summarize that?
I hated everything about this movie. Pretty much, but that little like the interlude with Cop Dog was amazing. I'm I would watch an entire
movie
of
gears.
Cop Dog. It's like you had like cheesy training music and they're running around. Oh my god, it's amazing. And then it's like 20 minutes of the movie only. I'm like,
this
is way more interesting than anything that happened in the first like hour of the movie.
Yeah, like, and we never find out what happens to Carlos, and it just like breaks me up, yo.
Yeah.
But yes, I also enjoyed that part. But I also, I mean, I thought it was kind of interesting because it's like,
I don't know, like, this whole movie is about, like, how humans, like, interact and, like, use animals for their own purposes. Mm-hmm. So, like, I find it funny that the controversy that we'll talk about in a second, mm-hmm. like, happened in that specific segment. And just actually, like, at all, because this whole movie could almost be, like, a controversy
That's a good
in
point.
Itself, like, yeah. about how well, just, we treat animals
it's
for
in
our
general,
own uses.
Like, this well, is just a, this projecting. Is just a side tidbit, but like for example, like Free Willy, the movie is about releasing animals from captivity to the wild, but yet the irony there is like they're using
yeah.
an animal in captivity to make the film, so it's like the whole thing and like how yeah. how we use animals in film and blah blah blah.
Yeah, exactly. Like I feel like there's like some sort of like like takeaway from this, but like it's kind of lost just in the fact that I don't know, like. They use the dogs in the film, and then also like even just like police dogs and stuff like that. Like, mm-hmm. it's just, I don't know.
Well, let's get into the controversy.
Yeah,
that
the,
we wanna,
the
like,
scene.
Set up.
Let's. I guess right. I can sort of set the scene. Mm-hmm. There's a guy who well, like set the scene in the movie mm-hmm. world.
Yeah.
There is the police dog is on duty and tracking down a guy who kidnapped his daughter. From what I.
Yes,
was paying
yeah.
attention. Well,
yeah.
I wasn't super paying attention, but and he runs on a basically a big power dam or something, and as the dog and the and Carlos, dog and policeman, I categorize things in my head not uh-huh. by actual names. attack the girl falls into the water and then the dog jumps in after to save her.
Yeah. Yeah, and, so that's the scene.
Yeah, and then so that would be the scene. The controversy was there's some behind the scenes footage of how that scene was filmed that appeared to show some force. Yeah.
Which was released by TMZ, I believe, was the first people who broke the video. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
basically it showed like
the dog being thrown
into
or, like,
this turbulent
into the
water.
Turbulent water and it like not wanting to go in there.
yeah. Mm-hmm. However, I did watch an interview with Dennis Quaid,
mm-hmm.
and he was saying that they're just beneath the dog's feet, like the water appears to be deep, but there was like a platform there so that it wasn't deep. Also, that there was underwater divers in the water for the dog.
Yeah, and there's also I just pulled up the investigation and eyewitness reports. The video was deliberately edited for the purpose of misleading. Mm-hmm. It stopped right after the dog showed signs of stress, but the dog was not forced to swim in the water at any time because of that.
Mm-hmm.
He was selected for his love of water, had been professionally trained and conditioned for the water scenes over the course of 6 weeks using positive training techniques. Mm. And yeah, during the last scene, handlers immediately assisted the dog out of water, at which point he was placed in a warming tent and received an examination that found no signs of stress.
Aww.
Yeah, so it was just all an edited video in order yeah. to get people all angry on the internet.
Also, another thing that's interesting too is that this movie was filmed in 2015 mm-hmm. and released in 2017. So whoever recorded that, you know, I think it was 2 weeks before the film was released or premiered that mm-hmm. they showed that video.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like if you had it for so long, like why
yeah,
wait?
So they like just sat
to,
on it or whatever.
Yeah, it's kind of yeah. like, well, if you have an issue with it and you
well,
really believe that there's
people from buying the film.
Yeah,
or from
but you
going to see the film before they go see it, because if you release it at the time, it's like, well, the movie's not out for 2 years. People forgot about the controversy two years later.
But you could do both, I suppose. But yeah, good point.
Yeah.
And it definitely did cause controversy before the film was...
Yeah, well, it did, for sure.
At least the controversy was about the only good part of the movie.
yeah, I wonder, like, I'm just trying to find the, like, how much they made for it. They had a production budget of $22 million and made about $196 million. That's pretty crazy, actually. Like,
yeah.
This is not a movie that I ever would have watched if we had not decided to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I don't know.
I didn't realize that it was like the movie that it was. I really actually thought it was about that first story the whole time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like, I thought that's just what it was.
I didn't realize the reincarnation.
yeah.
I will say the thing that impressed me most in this movie, there's some nice shots, like there's some nice film work in it, and there's some really nice, not like the narration, but the dog sounds I thought were really good. Like the dog foley of them sniffing and like running.
Totally.
Little like, mouth sounds or whatever.
Yeah.
I thought they were really, was really good. And like even imparted a personality on the dog. So you, again, you don't need the narration if your additional foley is that good, I think.
Totally. Yeah.
Also, I kind of want to talk about the locations.
Yeah.
Yes.
There was the Half Moon Drive-In, which is in Gonor, Manitoba, I believe. I've driven past it. I don't think I've ever eaten there. I think I tried once, but it was like,
it's always pretty busy.
Yeah. And then Tuxedo for the scene with the girl, with the young girl.
Okay.
And the corgi.
Yeah.
There's, my boyfriend recognized it because his parents are from Tuxedo. The houses were like literally two streets away from where he lives.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that was U of M. It was U of M in the background. I was like,
I could even tell like what building.
I'm pretty sure I knew what building inside. Oh, that's the architecture building in the background.
Yeah. It was weird. I'm like, I don't remember that because I was there in 2015.
Was that like in the same segment?
Yeah.
The corgi.
Awful, awful segment. Went off the rails. The movie just went completely off the rails, I thought.
I don't think so.
I don't know. I didn't mind it.
He reincarnated into another dog's life, and it was just a regular family's dog.
Yeah, and that one, like, totally spoke to me as, like...
a lonely single.
A student who's, like, eating constantly.
That part, yeah, it was, like, lonely. Emotional eating.
Well, and I don't even have a dog. Like, my life is worse than that.
I was like, why did
she... It's funny when
I guess, she's in class with a dog. Like, I know. Will ever get away something. With that?
That also bothered me about
this.
You can
do whatever you want.
Like, the dogs are everywhere.
The dogs went everywhere with their humans. And I'm like,
in the restaurant. In the restaurant when he's proposing, he's underneath.
Yeah.
The dog.
Yeah, okay. I'm like, the restaurant was not believable. Yeah, I believe university because I've seen people bring, like, cats and stuff.
Really?
I never saw that. God. Yeah.
That's a world I want to live in, to be honest.
Bring your dog to school day? Like, yes, please.
Yeah. I didn't mind that segment.
The longest pause of the night for me was when the dog said, "Oh, is something in her belly?" And I just like stopped the movie. I'm like, I'm gonna need to take about 30 minutes.
I think the moment that happened for me was towards the end when he's Buddy, then he's like. He's running away, and I was like, oh, my God, he's going to find Ethan.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I threw my pen at the TV. I was just like, fuck this. Fuck this. I'm sorry. I didn't.
Okay, no, but this is the thing that I don't know. When at the end, when it's like that, to me, it's cringy when he's like, Bailey?
Yeah.
Like, what Dennis Quaid really actually think that the dog... Just from that one thing that he wants to play fetch with that football. Or no, it's the when he jumps on his back.
Yeah, on his back.
But it's like, I don't know.
I don't know.
I think, what did Ethan do to deserve the reincarnation of his childhood dog? Though?
Yeah.
Like
he ran a successful farm. What a great entrepreneur, you know? Like, you could see, like,
where
look,
was that farm? That was beautiful.
It was
really nice.
Yeah.
I don't know. You could see he had like three or four combines. You could tell he was running a pretty good outfit out there. So he really he put the work in, like by himself too. Like that's some nice work. It's really a great starting your own business movie.
Yeah. Let's be honest. It's an entrepreneur movie.
Sure.
It's basically Ghostbusters. Yeah. I mean, that's what we're saying.
And also, like, reuniting him with his high school girlfriend is like his. The dog's purpose is to enforce heteronormativity, is in my opinion. Like, fuck. Yeah. I was so mad. I was like, this is not happening.
I was kind of shocked. See, Kate, I totally thought when he ends up with the black girl that she's like kind of says no to that guy, I thought she was going to turn out to be a lesbian. And I was like, yes, like I can get behind this. And then the dog can like be like, oh, like, love isn't just like whatever. Yeah. It would have maybe been, like, kind of interesting in that sense, but then it was just like, no, she's actually just going to date
in that segment, did you get, like, major creep vibes from that guy the first time you met him? Yeah, I'm like, so. Oh, my God, the corgi's going to have to fight him off.
I know.
The way the girl was acting around him, I was I think this guy didn't know, like, a creepy guy?
That's why I just didn't understand that. And then, yeah, like, that was the one thing in that segment that bugged me, is that they do end up together, and it's like, what?
It seemed kind of like... not settling, but like
it did kind of.
It's just like, well, I guess I'll,
like, how many, like, I'm tired of crying alone in my bathtub.
Yeah, when she literally wishes that her dog was her boyfriend.
So the farm is in Selkirk, around Selkirk. Yeah.
yes
God, it's beautiful. It's
a, yeah, you can you can tell it's like close-ish to a river because there's a little bit of rolling hills, and and so it's like, where is there a little bit of rolling hills in Manitoba?
What does anyone know, like, what is the process? Say, like, someone owns that place, right? So, like, how does like a production, like, come up, and like, how do they do that? Do they get paid, like, an X amount of money, and how does that even work?
You, like, get paid, and they usually put you up in a hotel. Like, whenever that movie with Renee Zellweger was being filmed, it was, like, filmed right down the street from my house, so. The people who owned the house, whatever, they got to go to a hotel, and then they got paid. And I don't know how much, though. I'm sure it's different.
I think it's probably quite a bit.
Yeah, I think it's probably, like, quite substantial, right? Because I'm sure they also, like...
That's so awesome.
...move stuff around as needed. Like, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But,
like,
yeah,
I know there's a house. I took a picture of it. There's this house on Westminster and Wolseley. That's, like, frequently used. Like, the family there usually rent out their house for filming crews.
I think there's, like, a database or something you can add yourself to.
Probably, because I was going to say, how do they find that? Like, I know they have location scouts and stuff, but how do you even get that
knock on the door?
Yeah.
Just, like, my friend, he works for the RM in the town where I'm from, Sanford, and he said that they had film crew guys, like, just come to, like, to their offices and just be like, hey, like, we're looking for a red barn. Like, they just straight up asked them, and then they kind of gave them pointers on who to go talk to like that. So, I don't know. I guess that's another way you can do it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's so cool. And even, like, to see your like, to see the movie and be like, that's my house.
Yeah. No, it's so cool.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, if it's another location thing, they edited it like a Home Hardware sign to be green. Did you see that?
I did notice that. That
was another, like, pause the movie and laugh moment.
Yeah, I did. Actually, it was really funny to me. Weird.
I didn't even think of that until you just said it just now, because I remembered it in my head, but I was like, wait, something's different.
Yeah, it was so weird. So weird, because you can tell by the font that it's a Home Hardware store.
Yeah.
And, like, the Home and Garden underneath, and it's like, but...
That's some movie magic right there.
Yeah, some nice movie magic.
I just want to talk about... Okay, I thought this movie could have been way darker than it was, and I totally thought that the beginning, kind of, I guess, of the third act, when he gets picked up by, like, that girl, and then he's just, like relegated to the backyard of this, like, shit house, like... Oh my God, first of all, that got me, because many people have dogs that, like, literally they just do not, like, take care of, or, like, you know, have live in, like, small spaces, or, like, don't ever take for walks. So, like, that, like, hit me, because it's just, like, an actual reality for so many animals.
Yeah.
It's, like, depressing.
That one was the one that I actually genuinely, like, caught me off guard, and I was like, oh wow, okay, that made me actually really feel something.
Yeah. And I thought for sure they were gonna go, like, the abuse route at some point, and I was just like, oh my God, like, I was
upset watching that part.
That part was so sad, and it's so true. Like, the dog's like, I never went anywhere or did anything.
I thought it was gonna be like a drug den, from, like, the way it was going, just like being a dog. Kind of seemed that way.
Totally. Yeah, I think that was sort of like the implication. They just didn't go, like, full in. Because
it is a kid's movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The strength of that part is, like, if I were to rank every single actor in this movie, the final dog would be the best actor in the entire movie, I think.
That one.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And then maybe a couple other dogs before some of the human actors.
Well, honestly, though. But I would almost say that the people in that scene, though, like, act, like, they're really fine. Well, because they are, I don't know, mm-hmm. they're just, like, real people that I feel like I've know some people yeah. like that kind of uh-huh.
people. How do you, who like, just have cast their big dog that? Chained
yeah.
up
exactly.
so often.
Like, we're going to cast you as a big jerk.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, you're perfect. You're scruffy. You have like a bald head. That's amazing.
I thought he was going to like take the dog and like throw it in the river. Same. Or no. shoot
I was worried.
It
I was like, where are you going with
I
him?
I had bad feels that whole thing.
Yeah.
And then he just like,
it was
lets
still
the
so
dog
sad.
Out.
Oh, it was, that God. Was so, so sad. And oh, I was like, God. You know, like when you drop off, when he gets dropped off and he just kind of like looks at him drive away and he's like, I guess I'll walk home. And it's like, yeah. oh.
So
and then he's
depressing.
Like, no, I don't really want to go back there anyway. Yeah. And it's like, damn. And then he finds Ethan. And Ethan, okay, this is the one thing that I had issue with in the entire movie. So he goes, he finds Ethan again. And he's this dog that literally runs up to him on his farm where he doesn't have another dog.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Ethan's like, no, yeah, I'm taking yeah. this thing to the pound. Like, any farmer that I know would actually be like, oh, I guess this is just my dog.
Yeah. yeah. I, like, it was not believable. This
no.
is not good farmer representation.
No, like, they would just be like, okay, like,
they'd be like,
here.
Whose dog is this?
Yeah, yeah. And then you would and just you would, feed it, and it would hang about the farm, and then it would just become your dog.
And the
you'd
dog
be like,
obviously
like,
wanted
I
to stay
everybody.
There.
Yeah.
yeah. yeah.
And
it
I think
was weird
he just had too much of an ego complex, because, like, after he rejected his girlfriend, you know, bitterly has to go
he's
to agriculture college, and then he's like, oh, I can't live my dreams. And then his dad probably dies of like alcoholism at one point.
Alcoholism.
Yeah, alcoholism. And then he just, you know, goes to the farm, his grandparents die, and then it's like,
but that's like literally like the kind of dude that would have a dog.
Yeah.
right?
And it's weird because yeah. he takes the time and he gets him like this nice meal and then just shuts the door. It's
yeah.
like,
and then they
I doubt that
when he goes and gets the dog from the pound the next day, the dog's still dirty. It was like,
yeah.
should they have,
like
you know,
Jesus,
washed him
what
at
is
least?
This pound?
what is God. This place?
And it, I made a note of this, but I wasn't sure because it was only showed much. I'm pretty sure Ethan, as he grew up, is still sleeping in the same bed in the grandparents' house.
Oh my God.
It's a little tiny bed. Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's still sleeping in the same bed he slept in when he was a little kid.
That's like depressing though, man, actually. Child. Like, honestly, this movie gave me such bad feels. Like,
oh yeah.
Yeah. There was a lot of it that was just, yeah. Really
and even like
and
in the
sad.
End, yeah, Ethan, like, whatever. But like, it's like 50 years later. Like, you're old as shit now and you like are just starting to figure out life. Like, God.
That's how I feel.
Like, no.
Do you think he never, like, I feel like he never got laid.
Like, this is a question, honestly, that crossed
wow.
my mind.
Mm. Well, that's why he's
like,
so uptight.
Because, like, when he kisses her, it was, like, so awkward.
Oh.
And just, like...
Okay, yeah. That was another thing. I was like, man, if you haven't seen me for that long and you go to take my face and then you put it in your shoulder last
yeah,
second and dodge
weird.
My face, I'd be like, okay.
Yeah, that was weird.
No,
you
like,
better
be like,
come on, Dennis Quaid.
Yeah,
let's
get in
done
there,
a
bud.
Normal kiss.
Get in there,
yeah.
bud.
I was like, why are they hugging?
I know. It seemed like a very strange thing. Like, it should have been
passionate
like a passionate
kiss.
Yeah. Like, that's what you do in that situation.
Yeah.
Like, whatever. It's like, I don't know. Okay, so, you know what? Let's just, like, Cassidy did it. Let's rank the dogs. So.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We have five. Well, we technically
let's
have
go
five
over.
Dogs.
Let's go over the dogs
yeah.
first.
We have puppy dogs? That gets caught by the pound and euthanized in 30 seconds.
Okay, well, he doesn't count. I
yeah,
don't think.
No.
His screen time is cut
yeah.
short.
Yeah.
We have Ethan, the Bailey, I guess.
The red retriever or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm. Like, childhood dog. Okay. We have police dog.
German Shepherd.
Mm-hmm. We have, I ranked him, I called him Stupid Corgi.
You're just a hater.
Dog. I am just a hater. And five, I categorized him as lame, but that's just when the beginning of the story started, and it looked really like it was going to be boring. And then,
yeah.
then he kind of developed into kind of a little bit better.
And what kind of dog is he? He's like a
yeah, he looks like
a
mix or something.
Yeah, I don't know.
He's big.
He's
yeah.
big.
That's why it's like so weird. It's like, oh, it's that stray from the park that's like 400 pounds and like huge.
Yeah.
like, you know, just wandering right. up to me.
Yeah. What's the criteria? What's the criteria here? Like cuteness?
Yeah. yeah.
Acting
okay.
chops.
Cuteness, acting ability.
Effectiveness. in the plot.
Yeah, yeah.
You just really want to shit on that corgi.
I will not let you.
I'm going to defend the corgi. I will say that the corgi... I will say there. Bailey as the corgi, because I guess...
Yeah, I was going to say, aren't these all Bailey?
Yeah, I know.
But
well,
like,
it's hard to say.
He definitely, like, wraps up, like... Like, if we're categorizing, like, effectiveness of, like, making owners happy, I think that he probably wins.
He wins.
Hello, the police dog took a bullet for his owner.
Yeah, that is pretty intense. So.
But now his owner's alone forever.
Yeah, and we could also say that maybe, like, Bailey didn't know that that was going to happen, so it's, like, unintentional.
No.
Yeah.
But we saw Bailey still... understand what a gun was. This was established in the movie.
That's true. But, like...
attacked him. Like, yeah, it was great.
That's fair.
Cassidy, then rate your favorite dog, just top dog.
My top dog. Top dog's gotta be police dog for me.
Police dog?
Yeah. Police dog for me. And just because, like, I can imagine the cheesy movie that I could write just based on the full, and oh my God, you could call it Partners.
Well, that's adorable.
It would be amazing. It would be amazing. And you focus it more on the training. You basically remake Rocky.
Yeah, but with a dog.
Yeah, but with a dog.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who doesn't love that?
I mean, the problem with that, though, I feel like it's like any police dog, like, story is going to end in, like, heartbreak, you know?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, 100%. But you could solve, you could have them solve crimes together. It'd be amazing. Like,
it's true.
Does this not exist
already?
I'm sure it does.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of terrible TV shows that are exactly this premise.
K-9 unit.
Yeah. a lot of them involve police people dying and being reincarnated as dogs and having to avenge their own murders.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, I know, right?
That's a story already?
Yeah, there's multiple stories like that.
Watch out, the dog has a gun. Yes! Oh, how does he know how to effectively holster a gun? Animal movies are bad.
Yes.
Yeah, just in general, I think.
Especially, I've never been a fan of them.
Okay. They're okay if they don't have voices.
Yeah.
But anytime you give voices to animals,
they usually always do.
It's so bad. Because, like, we're projecting our humanness, our humanity onto these animals. And then it's like, oh, yeah, a dog feeling existential is just going to, oh, what's my purpose? Oh, obviously to serve humans.
Like, I know. That was my main issue with this movie is that, like.
He loses purpose without his owner. And it's like.
Yeah,
I don't know. So, like, I did, like, okay, sorry.
Oh, I was gonna say, I said my top dog. Yeah, anyone else want to?
Oh, let's go keep going. We kind of went off.
Yeah,
Ulfley, what's yours?
Okay, I got the most emotional at the cop dog one. I think, though, for cuteness was definitely the last one.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Oh, Molly.
I don't know.
And he was a good actor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I agree on that.
I mean, okay, let's just, all the dogs did a great job.
Good job, dogs.
Good job, dogs.
I'm going to have to say the first one, I think, I don't know. It's just its little face.
Yeah.
It's so cute.
I know. I was kind of caught between that one, too. It's just like.
Is there, like, can we quickly come up with a pun? Like an Oscar, but somehow
like a
dogster or something like that.
A dog.
And the dogster goes to
the
dogster.
Yeah, exactly. Is there an Academy Award for best animal actor?
Yeah.
You know what? There probably is.
There should be.
Totally. There should be.
It would get boycotted.
Yeah. Real
quick. By PETA.
Yeah.
Sam, what's yours?
I would say probably the last dog, too, just because, I don't know, I was, like, most attached, I guess. But the corgi puppy was just
so cute. Yeah, no, I really did like the corgi as well. It was just adorable. They were all
just,
so cute.
It was just a cute little break from, like, all that misery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was just, like, I think that was kind of the purpose of that scene was to have, like, a light story.
Yeah. In between, because we end miserable with the cop dog, and we begin miserable with a dog number 5.
Yeah.
So you need something in the middle that's not...
Have a good life. He gets chased around by, like, 3 kids. Yeah. Gets so much attention.
Probably most relatable for a lot of people as well.
Totally. Like, you know, yeah, I think so.
Lighthearted.
for the showstopper. You want to try it? You want to get it? Ready?
I am ready.
Okay. Go! Where did you learn how to do that, buddy? You are really starting to freak me out, boss dog.
Yes, Ethan, that's right. I'm your boss dog. I'm Bailey. Say it.
Boss dog? Are you the boss dog?
We should probably move to our next segment of movie recommendations.
Oh, yeah, let's do it.
Oh, what have I been watching lately? I literally can't think about anything but freaking dogs dying.
I've been watching a lot of Netflix. So I tried to watch Mute. Have you guys watched that one?
No. What's that one
don't
about?
Recommend it. it's a don't watch. This is a don't not recommend. That's kind of the thing with Netflix. I mean, they pump out so much stuff, and they some of do. It is just like, I don't know. I mean, I guess when you're that like prolific, it's just some of it's going to be trash, right?
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's like some weird. Okay, this is basically what you need to know about it, is that there's robot strippers.
Oh.
So like literally in the opening scene, there's like this like metal like thing that has like boobs, and it's like shaking them, and I was like, what? Like,
are the boobs unfortunately are the, that are the could boobs, be
the
like,
boobs are metal.
Metal
the boobs so, are metal.
I feel like that's definitely gonna be in our imminent future.
I like the robot
people
want to
fuck
Futurama.
Robots unfortunately.
They do, honestly. It looked like that. It what? Looked like the
really?
Robot strippers in Futurama. It's insane. it's honestly maybe worth a watch just
oh my
for that.
God.
I might have to look at this.
It was quite ridiculous. Like I couldn't determine if it was like trying to be like funny, but like I don't think it was.
What genre did it technically fall under?
I guess it's like science fiction, I guess, because it's like supposed to take place in this like kind of like alternate universe, like if the 80s had robots and like shitty cell phones. Like, I don't know. So but it, yeah, I mean, I would not suggest that. Good movie on Netflix that I did watch though was Veronica.
Oh my god, I just watched it. I fell asleep at the end though, only because I was super tired after school one day, but oh my god,
yeah,
so
it was
scary.
Yeah, it was pretty scary. And it was okay, so it's basically, I think it's Spanish.
Spain.
Yeah. So it's a Spanish movie. So I'm like, I really like subtitles. So
right.
I'm like,
me too.
I really love that shit. I don't
love
know
it
why.
Too.
When people make like, they're like, turn off the subtitles. They're so annoying. It's like, no, I have bad hearing. I need
also
them.
That. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
you get everything. And
yeah. Exactly. And no, I love subtitles.
Like, I can't watch a movie without subtitles. Know, when just... we were watching Spotlight in class,
turn
it was
those
like
subtitles
their Boston
on,
accents.
Yeah.
I was like, what are they saying?
Totally. Sometimes. Yeah. No, I agree. Anyway, so this movie is basically, it's just like a horror flick. It's like not super original in the like in the story. I mean, it's basically just like a possession, or like a not a possession story, but like this girl like summons a demon and then can't get rid of it kind of thing. But it's just kind of interesting because yeah, it's like set in I don't even know where.
Madrid.
So it's just kind of like interesting, and then there's like lots of young actors, and it's just kind of like a bit of a fresh take on like kind of the demon horror genre.
Apparently this is, I can't remember who told me this, but apparently this is based on something that actually happened.
Oh, I'm sure it is. I feel like every like horror movie says
can
that.
Can we put giant quotation marks around everything that?
Yeah,
I mean, every movie is based. But like this girl, this age or whatever, like had this experience that, apparently I won't ruin it, but yeah, it's a good movie.
Like, yeah, I heard that too,
the
but
based
I have
not on the based on a true story designation is like really valuable for movies in terms of like actually valuable for movies. Like if you compare horror movies that are like just putting based on a true story in the trailer, like will get you an extra like $10 million at the box office or something like that.
No, it's insane.
And then everyone wants to look into like what exactly it is. Why? What's real about this?
What is the true story?
You can sell some crappy book beside it as well. The true story behind this movie. And it's like, boom, you get another couple million bucks right there.
Yeah, totally.
All right. Sam?
Well, since I was up at 6 a.m. watching Hyena Road this morning, I'm going to go ahead and recommend Hyena Road.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. It was interesting. Like, it was pretty much based in, like, Canadian military in Afghanistan. And the acting was pretty good. I like the way that they, in a lot of war-type movies, portray like snipers and things as being like they don't really have a lot of emotion, or they, you know, they kill people and like they don't have a lot of emotion when they're doing it. But like this movie, I think tapped into like that they're like more of the human side of people who are in war, and it was pretty good. So
that's awesome. Yeah. I'm so excited to watch it.
Yeah, it's a good movie. I would recommend it.
I don't like watching military films.
No, I also don't like military films. I'm specifically just excited to watch it because of like the connection.
Yeah, yeah.
But I also never watch military movies, like war movies, ever. I haven't seen Saving Private Ryan. I haven't seen Pearl Harbor. Like, fuck that shit.
I've seen them, but I just like hate watching them.
I remember
like,
when
especially anything said during the Iraq War or like Afghanistan. Same. I'm just like.
Yeah,
I'm like not when an American say what I'm gonna say, Sniper but
came out, I was like,
"That is a movie
I will never see."
I knew some American people that like that movie came out, and it was like, "Oh my, like America, God, like we are, for sure,
steeped propaganda."
Yeah,
like it's crazy that Americans don't think that they're being like duped by like. They literally have a department in like in their government like that's basically the military review scripts and like anything involving the military. They'll even like sponsor scripts. Like most of the Marvel movies are like very much
I think Top Gun is the biggest example of that. Yeah. Like the US military gave them the use of the planes,
and like Iron Man, that's the whole movie obviously.
Right there. It's amazing.
Yeah. Crazy. I do like Top Gun, though, actually.
Well, my favorite movie of all time is more of a, like a parody of like war movies. It's like Starship Troopers is amazing to watch.
Yeah.
In like that vein. Like,
great flick, yeah.
It's like what if a crazy Uber government developed a film as a propaganda piece? It'd be like, that would be Starship Troopers. It's actually really interesting to look at it from that perspective.
Look at it from that way. Interesting. Is that... your recommendation?
No, it is my favorite of all time. I think as for what I've been watching lately, I'm slowly when I have time picking up a few episodes here and there of Star Trek: The Next Generation. I found a nice little episode guide online that like shows you which episodes you can skip. Right. So that's nice. So
have you watched any of like the new?
No, nothing new. I want to get through Next Generation before, and I'm not even watching the first series, like,
yeah,
but just, you know, slowly working my way through that and picking out the good episodes, and yeah, the good episodes are good.
Again, I haven't watched a lot of movies lately. Mm-hmm. The last one I did watch, I mean, besides Dog's Purpose, was Creep, which I don't know. Like, it's an interesting movie. I don't know if it's something I would be like, oh, I recommend watching this. But it's like a found footage horror movie, and I think it works like that, about a guy who this guy hires this videographer to go up to his cabin and film him because he's, like, dying of cancer, and he wants to, like, leave, like, a documentary of himself for his son, his unborn son. But then it just, like, immediately gets creepy, like, as soon as he, like, agrees to do this, he's just like, oh, this is great, and, like, hugs him, and then takes him into the bathroom, takes his clothes off, gets into the bathtub, and it's like, I'm giving tubby to my unborn son. This is what we would be if you were... Oh, it's just so...
I liked it. This is what I recommended in the first podcast.
Oh, you did? Yeah, oh, yeah, my God. Yeah. Oh, fuck. I totally messed that up.
I know. I'm like, well, no, you listen to my recommendation, and now you have opinions, and they are welcome. Oh,
yeah. It was so off-putting. Like,
it was an very off-putting movie.
I mean, I think the name
it's creepy.
Of it... Exactly. The name of it sums it up. It's creep. It's weird. It's quirky. It's odd.
Yeah. It's definitely an unsettling
movie.
Man, I'm totally a doof. I totally forgot that you recommended it in the first episode.
It's all good.
Okay.
It's so funny.
Let me think. I already recommended Spy Kids last time.
Yes. It's our go-to.
Do we want to talk about other dog movies that are
I was trying to think of that as well.
Oh, yeah.
Lilo and
Stitch.
I just
think they're bad. That's not really a dog movie.
I'm stretching it a lot. But
yeah,
like,
no.
Yeah, I liked Air Bud when I was little, but that's it.
I say I don't like war movies, but there is one I do like.
Which one?
Okay. It's very, it's called Come and See, and it's a Belarusian film. And it's honestly, like, I'm not even exaggerating when I think it's one of the best, like, war movies you could watch.
I will definitely watch that.
Yeah, what is it called?
It's kind of hard to get. It's called Come and See. It's, like, the what you're going to get is going to be a bad quality, so I kind of recommend torrenting it.
I didn't say anything there.
You wouldn't download a car.
Yeah, but no, like... Honestly, like, if you want to see, because, like, the director himself, he, like, went through what had happened is the Nazis went through 600 Belarusian villages, burnt them down. He would, like, put entire villages into barns and, like, burn them, and that's kind of what it's about. And, like, it follows this young 15-year-old boy. And you watch, like, from the beginning, he's just this, like, cute little blonde-haired, like, cheery-faced boy. And then it just ends with him, like, he needed a lot of chapstick. Like, his face was just, like, literally ashen. And it was just, like, holy, like, the most intense experience you'll watch. And you'll, like, really understand, like...
What war is like for, like, an actual person and not, like, from, like, a military kind of perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for, like, he was part of the rebel fighters.
Right.
And, yeah, no, it was just, like, oh, I can't highly recommend that enough because it's, like,
awesome.
Important.
I'll definitely take a look at that. I love Russian movies, too, so I'm, like, super into
this.
Me,
too. I'm, like... Like, not, like, a weeaboo, but, like, for Russian history. So, like, a Russaboo. Yeah.
I love it.
That's great.
That's awesome.
All right. We should introduce this interview segment now.
Yeah. So, it's actually, it's kind of an interview. So, basically, it'll just be me walking around the college and asking people a little bit of trivia about Manitoba film history.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Do you want to give a preview question?
No.
No? Okay.
Okay.
Nope, I don't.
All right, okay. Well, okay, then. Let's listen in.
Sitting here with Christina, Andrew, and Jen, and we're going to play some Manitoba movie trivia. So the first question is, what local candle company had their candles featured in the swag bags at the 2015 Academy Awards? Is it A?
Colin Canary.
Okay. That is an option. So, yeah, that is actually right. Good job.
Of course I'm right.
Okay. The Stone Angel got a big screen debut in 2007. The original novel is written by Manitoba native A, Margaret Atwood, B, Margaret Lawrence, or C, Hagar Shipley?
Margaret Lawrence.
C.
A.
Christina, you are right. It is Margaret Lawrence.
I read it in grade 12.
Yeah, I think everyone has to do that. Okay, which morning show did not take place in Winnipeg? A, The Morning Show, B, Breakfast Television, or C, The Big Breakfast?
The Big Breakfast. No. The Morning Show.
You're right, Christina, you're killing it. You got 2 points. Okay.
Yeah.
What television show features the characters going on a business trip to Winnipeg in November? A, How I Met Your Mother, B, The Office, or C, Friends?
Friends?
B.
I didn't hear the question.
Office.
The Office, you're right.
Oh, dang. Yes. What was the question?
What television show features the characters going on a business trip to Winnipeg in November? And it's The Office. Great episode. Anyway, okay. What movie would have been filmed here if the city government hadn't objected to the film crew's desires to remove several dozen trees in the Exchange District? Is it A, Legends of the Fall, B, The Assassination of Jesse James, or C, Heaven is for Real?
Heaven is for Real.
No, Heaven is for Real was filmed here. It's the first one.
Nice. Nicely done. It is Legends of the Fall. Yeah.
I knew Jesse James was filmed here too.
Yeah, they apparently wanted to like take down a bunch of like trees in the Exchange
like
District.
Two trees to begin
I
with.
I know. It's like, no. Get out of here. Okay. Number six. Keanu Reeves was here most recently for which movie? A, John Wick 2, B, Siberia, or C, Knock Knock?
John Wick 2, I thought.
Siberia is the correct answer.
Of course, Siberia. It's cold as fuck here.
Okay, and which movie in the Chucky franchise was filmed here? A, Child's Play 2, B, Cult of Chucky, or C, Curse of Chucky?
I knew it was something of Chucky. I don't... Curse of Chucky.
Trick question.
I don't watch those movies, so I don't know.
None of the
It is Curse of Chucky, you're right, yeah. Okay, and the last question. Winnipeg police defended their rental of what to a movie set? A, a tank, B, a helicopter, or C, police cars?
Tank.
It was helicopter.
Helicopter, yes. Oh. This is literally like a couple months ago.
I don't think we have a tank.
We definitely have a tank somewhere.
Do we?
Where?
Who
knows? Or somewhere.
Okay, so who won?
No, we have like
I think Christina. I think you won.
Yay!
Good job, guys.
Yay!
Next week, we're going to be listening to our... Next week, we're going to be watching Hyena Road, which is a 2015 Canadian dramatic war film written, directed by, and starring Paul Gross. It takes place in Afghanistan. It's a war movie.
Yeah.
Tune in. I don't think you're supposed to say tune in to podcasts.
I'm listening.
Well, listen in two weeks from now.
Subscribe. Check us out, guys.
Check us out.
Give us reviews on iTunes.
Give us reviews.
That's the show thing for podcasts. Review us on iTunes. Rate us 5 stars, you know?
Yeah.
Give us those 5 stars.
Yeah, give us those 5 stars. But only if you think we deserve them. Just kidding. Give it to us or else.
And subscribe.
We'll fail our class if you don't get 5 stars. All right, well, thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye, guys.
3-9 Alpha, this is 6-6. Time contact 1028 local.
Confirm your dope. Up 23, right 2.
Stand by.
Send it. Good hit.
I'm building a road, gentlemen. I'm building a road, and it is going like a dagger into the heart of the enemy. But I've lost 36 civilians in the last 4 months. And this has got to stop.
I'm your partner in peace.
This is the birthplace of the Taliban. 54,000 square kilometers of insurgency, tribal rivalry, and blood feuds.
I need eyes on that road.
There's gonna be fireworks. This is gonna get personal.
I'm here, aren't I?
6-6 Bravo. We got a convoy heading our way.
VIP call sign Bravo Delta Kilo exiting the vehicle. He's got Taliban.
3-9 Alpha, what's happening in the village?
We have hostile action against civilians. They're taking kids authorized to engage.
Sit tight. BDK is protected by the CIA. He's their asset.
They are taking little kids.
Do not intervene.
We gotta do something.
Your guys will stand down.
I'm proud of what we do here, but if we can't help, what's the point of doing all this?
These people play both sides. One day they're with us, and the next they're with the Taliban. It's not one war. It's a whole bunch of different wars.
We're not playing games. You fight your war, Captain. I'll fight mine.
You got any idea what you've done? And you intervene in something you know nothing about? You think he can change everything with just one bullet?
I think it might be more complicated than that.